Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So today we're going to continue our series of In Our Feelings, In My Feelings from Matthew 5. Guys, this has been a really challenging message series, hasn't it? If you've missed any of them, go back and listen to them either online at myhopecity.church. You can listen to them on our Facebook page. It has been challenging. We've talked about anger, about lust, about divorce, about the words that come out of our mouths, like what we say we're going to do. I've been challenged. And today is no different as we read today's passage. I'm going to save the message title for just a minute. Let's just read today's passage together. We're in Matthew chapter 5. We're in verses 38 to 42. And here's what it said. Here's Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount to a group of thousands of people. And remember, he's like saying, you've heard this, but this is what I'm telling you. This is what you've always known to be true, but here's what I think you should do about it. He doesn't change. He continues. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it for 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. I think this is a very fitting thing to talk about on Mother's Day. Because as an individual, I don't have any problems with this portion of the teaching of Jesus. But as a mom, if you hit one of my kids, I'm coming after you. Right? If you say something mean to one of my kids, oh, it's over. Right? I can pick up an offense for my kids so fast. So in honor of Mother's Day, today's message is entitled, Cage the Mama Bear. Huh? Right? That's fun and everything, right? It's fun. That's a fun title because it's Mother's Day. And we moms are like, we like to own that title of the mama bear. We do, right? And it can be an unhealthy part of our identity. But this message is not just for moms. Okay? So I don't want you to sit here and be like, well, I'm not a mom, so I don't have to listen. I just made this fun because it's for mom, because it's on Mother's Day. It's for all of us. All right? We all can struggle with offense and an inward seeking of revenge. You did me wrong, I'm going to do you wrong. Right? We all struggle with feeling like we need to make sure a person pays for what they did. Because that's the only way they're going to not do it again. Ooh, I hear some false protectors coming up today. Hold on. I'm just saying what Holy Spirit told me. We use our words, social media platforms, and mutual relationships to broadcast each other's transgressions. I'm just going to say that one more time. We use our words, social media platforms, and mutual relationships to broadcast each other's transgressions. We allow the actions of others to dictate our moods, our responses, and our actions. Get your feet back. Actually, stick your foot out there. We should all be getting our toes stepped on, right? It's good to get your toes stepped on once in a while. Okay, all the time. Because this isn't how God wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live this way. So Jesus was addressing the old law of how the punishment should fit the crime. And this is the same law, for the most part, that runs today's legal system. And listen, I'm all about it. Like, if you do something that breaks the law, you need to face the consequences of that, correct? Yes, right? If you murder someone, you need to face the consequences that come from that. You shouldn't, you're not trusted in society. If you rob a store, you need to face the consequences that come with that. You have to build up the trust to be trusted back in society. That's why we have our judicial system. But Jesus wasn't talking about the judicial system. He was talking about kingdom living. That's what he was talking about. And Jesus challenges us to view things from his perspective here. How in the world can we do this? How in the world is it even possible to do what Jesus is asking us to do in these verses? Because our first response, if somebody slaps us across the cheek, whether physically or verbally, are y'all following me? Right? Our first response is to do what? Retaliate, isn't it? Whether it's physically, I'm just gonna punch you, right? Whether it's physically, verbally, behind a phone, right? Our first response is to retaliate. So how in the world can we do what Jesus is calling us to do? We live in a culture that says, live your true self. Is it true? Be your true self. And Jesus is like, baloney, be your true me. Be me. Die to yourself. How in the world can we do this? Well, I think there's two things that I pulled out of this verse and some others that tells us how we can do this, and they are not easy. No part of this message series has been easy, so why start now? Right? The first thing we can do is this. Number one, walk in humility. Oh, I walk in humility. I do. Like, I'm humble. Well, are you sure? Are you sure? Because let me just give you the dictionary definition of humility. I've done it before from this platform. Let me just do it again. The dictionary definition of humility: a modest or low view of one's own importance. Notice that doesn't say a low view of one's self. Listen, it's not about self-deprecation. That's not what humility is. Oh, I'm just a worthless worm. I don't deserve. That's not what it is. If you are struggling with self-confidence, this is not your key. Like, see, I'm supposed to feel this way. No, you're not. Because your identity is supposed to be rooted in Father God's and what He says about who you are. But humility is a modest or low view of one's own importance. Where do you see yourself in relation to others as superior, more important than, equal to, or less than. Humility is to walk in a way that I am not more important than anybody else. And nobody else is more important than me. Humility is walking side by side with people, recognizing that even though we come from all different ages, stages, and degrees of life, we are all on the equal playing field together. Right? And so when we go back into today's section of verses, and it says, Jesus says, I say to you, do not resist an evil person. To resist something, see how that says? Like, do not resist an evil person. To resist something means to fight back. That's what it means. Like, if we're resisting, we're fighting back. You mean Jesus is telling me I can't fight back? Yes! Yes, that's what Jesus is saying. Don't fight back. And this is countercultural, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Everything around us tells us just exactly the opposite. Culture tells us to get everything that we want and don't let anyone get in our way. And the leading voice of culture is pride and arrogance. Let me just say that again in case you missed it. The leading voice of culture is pride and arrogance. What's that mean? What's pride and arrogance? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Let me just show you. Pride is the quality of having an excessively high opinion of oneself. Arrogance is having an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or ability. Doesn't that sound very similar to the culture we live in? An exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. It is the voice of pride and arrogance that challenges us to seek revenge and to make sure that people pay for what they say and they do. But humility drives us to live in peace. This doesn't mean that we have to be doormats and allow people to treat us poorly. There's a balance here. We don't have to be quiet when we are treated poorly. We can have healthy self-respect and have healthy boundaries in place and still be humble. One of my biggest win stories happened just a few weeks ago. Some of you know I work at a family practice office, you know, Monday through Friday during the day. And my whole family is seen by the providers in this office. And we had someone new training at the front desk who was, you know, checking people in, answering phone calls or whatever. And there's a certain, I mean, like when you have a family member that works at a place, like, you know, that people know who you are and it's like, okay, we're gonna take care of you, right? But this person was new. She didn't know who my family was, and one of my daughters called, needed to be seen. And she was like, oh, we don't have anything open. I'm going to have to send a message back. And so, I mean, I'm a medical assistant, so I get the message of this kid with the last name Noble that needs to be seen. And so I just kind of walked into the provider and was like, hey, do you want to see this person? They're like, yeah, of course, just put them on. Double book, whatever it takes. And a girl who was training felt really bad. Like, I didn't know. I didn't even know that was Paula's last name, was Noble. I didn't know that was her kid. I feel really bad. And the other girl who's been there for a while now, she's like, they'll never tell you that because they're a very humble family. And I said, thank you. That is awesome. That was the biggest compliment she could have ever paid me. Because not only was she recognizing that, you know, Paula's humble, but her whole family, like they don't see themselves as more important than anybody else. And they don't pull out the card. They'll never tell you that because they're a humble family. That's what it looks like to be humble. And we don't think of ourselves as any more important than anyone else. Sometimes we get the benefit of being treated as at a higher importance level, but it's not something we come to expect. That's the difference. That's what walking in humility looks like. The second thing that we have to know about this is that there's a ricochet event, a ricochet thing. When we walk in humility, then humility brings peace. Humility breeds peace. Humility breeds peace. Look at this verse from Romans 12, verses 17 to 21. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Whoa. And as I was preparing this message, God brought me to this verse because this verse came to life for me in a very embarrassing way. I've always been confused about that heaping burning coals of shame. Shame's not good, right? Well, if shame is used in a way that makes us realize where we did something wrong and causes us to seek repentance, yeah. And that is exactly what Paul was talking about. By defeating evil by doing good, it's like heaping burning coals of shame. Here's my story of how this happened. I was teaching at a public school in Republic, Missouri. And it was very strange, the relationship I had, because I was a teacher, yet I was also an intern for the principalship, because I was working on my master's for my principalship. So I was a teacher and with all the staff, but I was also over here with the administrative staff and dealing like with them. So I was like in this weird caught between world, right? And there was a lot of tension during this time. The district was reformatting, and people were going to be switching buildings and switching schools. People that had taught together for years and years and years were going to be separated, and there was just all this tension. And I'm caught in the middle because I hear the staff over here talking, and then I hear the administration over here talking, and I'm like, I feel both sides. What do I do? And one of my coworkers was publicly using social media to express how she felt about the choices that the administration made. And I was in a conversation with the assistant principal, and he said, now it probably wasn't right, but he said, you know what? She should really be careful about what she says, because I've seen her social media page, and she does not, she definitely doesn't dress appropriately for a teacher, and some of the things she says is not appropriate. And I was like, I agree. So here's me, the peacemaker. I try to like, so I go back over to my friend Katie, and I'm like, Katie, you should probably take that post down, because, you know, it's not appropriate, and like the way you're dressed. I mean, it's seen. And she goes right back over here. She did right. She did right. That's Matthew 18. She's not going to go through me. She goes right back over to the assistant principal and was like, do you have something you want to talk to me about? About my social media? But you know what happened in the meantime? I was caught playing both sides. And I was embarrassed, and it was wrong. And I had violated the trust of an administrator who was viewing me as a colleague who could just talk to me and trusted me not to go anywhere with information, and I violated that trust. So when I found out that conversation happened between the two of them, I was embarrassed. I was like, oh man, what's going to happen now? And so the next day, I'm walking down the hallway, and here's Jason Perkins, the assistant principal, walking straight towards me. And I just kept my head down because I'm like, he hates me. I know he does. And he looks at me and he goes, hey, Noble. And I looked at him, he smiled, he's like, have a great day. Burning coals of shame just fell on my head. And I said, Jason Perkins, I am so sorry that I violated your trust. I went out and I shared something that I never should have shared. I don't think I would have ever been prompted, I don't think that God was prompting me. I don't think I would have ever had the courage to go and have that conversation with Jason if he had not heaped those burning coals of shame on my head and said, hey, Noble, have a great day, with a very sincere smile. Jason Perkins did not return evil for evil. He returned evil by doing good. And because he chose to be humble, there was peace and repentance on my part. The enemy knows the power of humility. He does. And he's always going to get us to try to respond with pride and arrogance. The enemy loves tension. He loves discord and strife. And the most powerful thing we can do is to pray for the opportunities so we can practice humility. But if you ask him to give you opportunities to practice humility, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. And when you feel like, ugh, what'd they say? I just want you to remember, humility is quiet. Humility doesn't have to plead their case. Humility knows that Jesus is our advocate. And he sends his Holy Spirit to bring truth and reveal truth at the right time. We have to trust him for that time.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.